You have really captured the some of the essence of John 17, where Jesus' final moments, he knew that he was going to be arrested. This will be the last night that he probably will be able to at least engage himself with conversation with the disciples or just be alone by himself. But that section on John 17, we know that story that he actually went to the garden at the Gethsemane. And he knelt and prayed. He could have prayed for him to be spared of the arrest. Jesus could have prayed that the Roman authorities will be hit by lightning, you know, or something happened to him, to them, that will protect him from being nailed on the cross and go to the torturing part of his life, the most excruciating pain that ever and every person will never want to experience. But then we heard in John 17 that he prayed for the unity of the disciples. And you wonder why, of all the prayer, Jesus prayed for the unity. And maybe we have some hint that Jesus knew that the church could never make an impact, could never be able to be a great witness out into the world if we are all disunited. If we are all fragmented and have our own different agenda, we cannot make an impact. The churches of our world have never taken this word so seriously that they deserve. Notice first and all in verse 17, Jesus prayed for the unity of the original disciples. Because that was not an easy task in and of itself. There was so much tension among the disciples during that time. They're jockeying for who is going to be on the right hand or left hand of the Father. Y'all remember that? They are all squabbling together, fuming with rage, arguing with each other. In other words, there's so much tension among the disciples themselves. No wonder Jesus prayed for that original 11. Lord, make them be what? One. And how many times the word one mentioned there when we read verse 20 to 23? At least 3 or 4 times. You probably have noticed it, right? And in the Bible, when the word is being kept repeatedly over and over again, what does that mean? It's very important. It needs to be stuck in our minds and in our hearts. So Jesus prayed for the unity of the original disciples because he knew that that was not an easy thing. And he knew that in order for them to spread the word and to impact the world for the sake of Jesus Christ, they got to be on the same boat. They got to be on the same page. They got to be one. They got to set aside all these differences so that they can all be one. But not only that, if you notice on the text, on verse 21, not only he prayed for the original disciples, but he also prayed for all the believers. So we are now part of the command. And here, take note of this. This is not a request. This is not a may or will. It is a shall. I know I have to work out with my accent once in a while. In a way, it is a command that all believers may be one. He prayed that all may be one because Jesus knew along that this is going to be the devil's first line of attack in any institution, whether it's a family, whether it's relationship. The devil always wants to disunite what God wants to unite. So he prayed not just for the unity of the original disciples, but also he prayed for the unity of the believers, all believers. And here's the third point. That unity comes not from us. It comes from whom? It comes from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We note here that Jesus asked God to give us unity as a request. That means the unity is given and not achieved. And if we see that way, the posture would be what? Humility. Humility would be the posture, because this unity causes us to fall on our knees and pray. This humility will give us a sense of an understanding that this is a gift given by God to us, and we are recipients of this gift. I know some of you may have tension at some point with relationships, with your spouse, with your children, extended kin. But when we talk about bringing together what was fragmented, what was broken, and understanding it within a framework of a gift to be received, rather something that is fabricated or initiated by human beings, we begin to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I want to receive this gift. This is the posture that Jesus offered this when he prayed this in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wants us to understand this unity as a gift to receive, not something that we have to produce on our own. He knew all along that we cannot do this apart from God. He knew all along that we cannot do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. He knew all along that the disciples could not be able to put their hearts and minds together if they rely upon their own strength. Boy, that's what we need, right? We cannot heal relationship. We cannot heal broken fences or whatever it is, or tensions there, without the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ must be at the center of this unity, because that's where we draw the power. When I left here Sunday, I brought that heart with me and said, Lord, thanks be to God that you have given the first step of the healing of the body of Christ. Because we begin to offer that posture of receiving it rather than doing it on our own. And finally, because Jesus prayed for the unity of the disciples and all the believers, and because this prayer is not coming from us, it is given to us to be received, Jesus prayed here for the impact of the unified church. One single thing that will compel the world to believe. Because there is a world that is watching what the church is doing. This is the world that is trying to take a look. What is it that this church can offer? And you know what we can offer to the world? The supernatural oneness in the family of God. Amen? A truly unified community of people is a supernatural fact that must have a supernatural cause. Because we cannot do it again on our own. We need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in order for us to become the vessel that will unleash that power to the world. And as what Mickey articulated with such authority and conviction, we are no longer on our own. It is Christ that is with us. So whatever it is that we are doing as a church, God is with us. And the world will see the difference. They will see a united church called Plank Chapel, focusing and fixing our eyes on God and God alone. I pray that we will hold this gift from God. I pray that the prayer that Jesus had more than 2,000 years ago will be our prayer, that all may be one. And once we continue on to be one, we can be a witnesses to the world that is so in need of oneness. May we build bridges of unity. And how this can begin? It begins in you and me. Hug a neighbor this week. Give them a call. Affirm one another. Do some service project this week. Help with the journey next Sunday. Attend the new book club, for example, as one way. Engage ourselves. Let us be one in Christ. Because together, we can make a difference. Let us pray. What a powerful prayer that you uttered. Something we all need, oh God. Because we cannot be unified unless we receive that gift from you. Unless we are receptive to the movement of Holy Spirit in us. And so tonight or today, Lord, help us to be a channel of unity, harmony, and oneness. And to receive this gift from you through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave up his life so that we may all be one. May we depend upon the Holy Spirit as we render our witness to him and to the world for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all the people of God said, Amen.